Where Are All My Friends Stuttgart Porsche Brand Store Edition. Mm-hmm. This is a funny one. It's gonna be a different kind of episode. It's gonna be shorter. I'm with my, debatably, one of my best friends ever. And we did something really special here. And it's weird because normally the podcast is not this format and it's a lot more about a guest interview. And your episode will come. Definitely. I'm gonna make one you day. Do it because one we're day. Doing this and that yeah. means you'll do it. Yeah. But the reason that we're doing this here and the reason that we're sitting here, if you're watching, not listening, is we're literally in Stuttgart at this Porsche brand store. And we just did this beautiful activation installation on behalf of Ornamental Conifer and Race Service. And we were lucky enough to come out here and celebrate it, but it's at the end of the installation. Yeah. It closes tomorrow.
Which is sad.
And they sub it out. And we're sitting in it and it's so special. And yesterday we were just talking and it was like, we should talk about this. We should share what this was before it's gone. I don't know. I figured like I have a camera, the mic set up. I have to apologize is the audio will be a little worse. And I hope this little sucker stays. I tried to charge it last night and just found out the charger died. So hopefully we make it through. I want to keep it kind of short. We're here before the store opens. So we only have a little bit of time. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to share our experience of making this because it was a really special project to me. And I think you as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And oftentimes our friends ask us, it's like, so what do you do with all that? Or like, why are you out there? And I thought it would be fun to just explain our involvement in making this, not to speak on behalf of Porsche, not to speak on behalf of Conifer or Race Service, but just us, like what we went through to put this together and explain yourself super briefly of what you do, just so people understand, and then we'll do your proper episode.
Okay. Graphic designer by trade. Most of my work is kind of all over the place. I like to call myself an amoeba. What I do at Race Service is basically a lot of the creative work, production, events, design, branding, posters, social, clothing now.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a lot of graphic design.
Well, from my perspective, like when we first started working together, you came from book design and mm-hmm. physical print. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like, I know we both love cars. And I was like, I know what you do is really technical and good, but how do you apply that? And then you undersold the shit out of yourself. Because then it's like, oh yeah, like literally anything that's in the Adobe suite, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, like you know all of it. You're very well taught and learned in that. And you're just in touch with culture. Like you understand style, you understand what's cool, you keep an eye on everything. Like cars, clothing, architecture, like you have a really good pulse on it. So when this project came up, of course, to get all of that to the finish line, not only could you design it digitally and put it together, you also had some really good bits to add to it.
Yeah, and building out the space is one of my favorite things to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was cool working with Nico where like somebody else's responsibility was to put their style and their design aesthetic on a place.
Yeah.
And then he graciously handed it off to me, kind of let me take it and roll with it. And some of the first initial design sketches were very, very, very different than
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And then being collaborative and working with him and the client and just coming up with like what the best case scenario was.
Yeah.
And it changed from a totally different concept in the beginning to this. And I think this feels very like now that we're in the space, it feels very natural.
Yeah.
Really inviting, really not so try hard and like very unexpected.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So now to paint the picture of how it happened and what this is. We last year, 2022, became friends with a lot of Porsche. And there's a lot of different divisions and all that, but specifically Porsche Germany was starting to put together the Porsche brand store in Stuttgart. And they knew that they wanted to do some really special clothing to celebrate the opening. Mm-hmm. Long, long relationship with Race Service as a whole, mm-hmm. specifically Basti and James went back super far.
Yeah.
So that comes in, we do this clothing capsule, and that's saying it very short, but it was yeah. really special to all of us. And everyone loved it. It sold out super fast. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's 2022. Then we find out that this store that we're in has an evolving theme. And they want to change the theme of when it first opened to this California dreaming, California.
Yeah, Steve McQueen-esque kind of era.
Yes.
Focus.
So they come to us. They love Race Service. They love the vibes of Race Service.
Yes, the vibes.
And they wanted to incorporate us somehow. And a lot of the references and mood board that they showed us was Conifer. And then comes us. So we, of course, were excited to do the project. But it was interesting because we are not Porsche, we are not Conifer, and we are not Race Service. We are very close with all of them. But to make sure that we represent all of them well and execute this well is important.
And we had not done anything like this before.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we already knew that Brand Store was going to do the California theme, regardless of if we were involved. Yeah. Not in some yeah. weird ultimatum way, But the one thing we didn't want to have happen was our friends have this store that we love so much, and we didn't want palm trees and surfboards and like the wrong vibe.
Yeah. What?
We wanted to make sure like that Race Service was involved, that Conifer was involved, but it stayed authentic and it stayed real. Yeah. We bring the idea to Nico or Ornamental Conifer, and he originally had a different idea. Yeah, so maybe you share a little bit of that, because it was your job to take his idea.
Be the creative medium between
the
artist and the client and the store.
To digitally bring that to life. So he was like, I want this, this, and this. And then you were sitting there in Illustrator digitally rendering it.
Yeah.
And it was a different, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it was a different theme.
Yeah, no, the initial concept was focusing more on like Nico's approach conceptually, which is basically, if you imagine branding in the world and signage and road signs and stuff, that he changes it with like a visual language change with a play on words. And what we wanted to do initially was make this like essentially Route 66 you would walk down and you would be just bombarded with street signage. Mm-hmm. But the street signage is all positive messaging. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like his overall visual and voice language. So initially there was going to be like 100 of these. I don't know if you can see it in this cut, but the change glow up signs like in your face. Uh-huh. And the illustrations that happened in the beginning were very cool, very technical, and really got the idea across. Mm-hmm. And then the client came back and was like, I don't know. It's, you know, it's great. It's cool. But we have this idea. We really like this blue brick wall. Mm-hmm. And we have this other idea. And we're thinking maybe we can like more California. And what do you think? So we did a round two. And the round two was like more bringing Nico's studio and introducing Ornamental Conifer as an artist to the German area in Stuttgart.
And I'm so glad we did, because something that I learned in this project is you shouldn't assume things. Because to us, Nico is a hero. Like we love his work. We've been fans forever. But then we can't assume that every person in Stuttgart, Germany knows this artist.
Or is going to understand what they're looking at.
Or the evolution of an artist. Yeah. So it wasn't that we had to dilute it or water it down at all. It was just, I'm so glad that we came to this, because it was so much easier to understand. It was then all of a sudden, how do we take Nico, Race Service, and Porsche culture from Los Angeles to Germany where anyone could understand it?
Yeah.
And then it's this fun discovery journey to learn just how special it is.
Well, and every time you do a project like this, there are limitations that you have to work with. Like, for instance, folds and walls and beams and colors and visual points of view and all this different stuff.
Yeah, pizza, that's restaurant. True. Because as the designer, you had to get really technical. And we did this project. We didn't see any of this for the entire time.
All handed over to be produced by somebody else.
We had been here once, but where we're sitting was like a hallway of mirrors that was closed off and lights. So like, we knew that this was like a hallway, but we didn't know
how
the dimensions. And you had this technical, you had like drawings, like architectural drawings. And you had to then render it and imagine like, cool, a Nico print is this big.
So-and-so.
A helmet is this big. So we had to do that all digitally from across the world.
Illustrate it and pitch it and describe it. Because the hardest part is that nobody knows what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, it's all flat. So the partners we worked with turned it into a really great 3D rendering of the space, so we could actually see, once it was all signed off on, we got a really good understanding of what the final product was going to look like.
Yeah.
But there's always that level of interpretation, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, illustrating and having that ability to like visualize all that stuff was a cool challenge, to have Nico kind of come up with language and things and what art that he wanted to do, and then allow me to like kind of put my taste on and organize and be able to convey what's in his head to the client without the artist having to be pitching it to the client. Allow the artist to be the artist, and allow me to be the kind of creative producer, designer, whatever you want to call it, and get it visually represented, and then be able to have them understand like, oh, that's going to be really something.
Because that was funny too, is this whole time, the last thing we ever wanted to do was misrepresent Nico. He's an artist. He's not trying to be on Zoom calls and hear about technical drawings. So you and I were sitting there and they would tell us something, and then Nico would tell us something. It was just like a lot of us being like, all right, how do we bring this to life? How do we make sure everyone's still?
Well, and defend everybody, right? In the proper way. Like, we're not trying to be, shitty to the client, but like, they have needs. Nico has desires, meeting in the middle, making sure that it's stylish, making sure that it's represented well, making sure that when it gets to the final product, it's not like, oh, this feels really mishmash. It's like, we really have to be able to maneuver with everybody.
Well, I think something that Race Service has taught us both is like the reason that Race Service wins and stays relevant and has this trust and respect is that it doesn't compromise. Like it's all too easy to say yes to client projects. And again, Porsche has been amazing to work with, but if you just say yes to everything, the idea doesn't become, it becomes too safe. It becomes watered down.
Diluted.
So we had to represent an artist and make sure that his vision and his art stayed
true. Standards.
While also keeping a client happy and making sure that the race surface name was at the right standard.
Well, yeah, like what you said, like you start to assume that other people don't have the standards that you guys, that we have or you have. Nico's standards for himself and for his art are mind-boggling. Yeah, and
I
working with
you
clients.
You level up as an artist to do that.
Oh, well, thank you. I've always had this like little thing that I roll by is like every single detail matters.
Yeah.
And actually, Gunther Works is there. Oh, no, Singers.
Singers thing. Everything is important.
Everything is important.
Yeah.
And it is. It comes across at the end of the day. A lot of what the projects at RS happens is that you realize you have a team of 100 people that are very dedicated to the details. But what I was saying is you start to assume that other clients don't have that ability. Mm-hmm. But then when we met with Liganova and Porsche and the team, like they are just as detail-oriented. Porsche as a brand is just as detail oriented. So it was really nice to have the client defending the fact that something had to be reprinted or something had to be rescaled because it needs to be perfect.
Again, the reason that I wanted to do this is for us as friends, not speaking as race servers of Porsche, but like you and I, dude, we're in Germany right now sitting down and I'm like,
in the store,
bro, we went through it. Like this is, I just want to talk to my friend about it and talk about some of our favorite memories or whatever. Like I'm sitting next to this screen, which is so much hotter than you realize.
Oh,
you don't see that in the photos in the video.
Oh,
this sucker really cooks. But this was a special part too. And I think that you and I can speak to this pretty well. And it's so funny, but in the middle of all this, we find out this was all just going to be paintings and art.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, by the way, there's
I had a whole gallery
LED,
wall planned.
Yeah. There's this giant LED wall that we have.
Life size.
They're really adamant about having it and keeping it interactive. And we're like, okay. So I remember on the call, I have this idea where I'm like, we're trying to bring California here, right? And I'm like, race service, we have all these garage bays. And I'm like, what if there was a way where we could like show Porsches in a garage? And then, like, it's just photos of Porsches on that. I'm like, yeah, but that's lame. You don't want just, like, a slideshow. And on this call, I'm like, we open a garage, and every time the garage opens, it's a different Porsche from L.A., and you're bringing L.A. cars from L.A. to Stuttgart.
It was figured
and
out
just, like, it was like, I think, unless,
wrong? You're right, because we get, can't think of the word, but, like, at RS, when you live in that space every day, you're desensitized.
Yeah.
And you're like, where, you know, they're just garages.
Yeah.
So when we started talking about it, it was just all natural. And, you know, being a designer and wanting to make everything printed and wheat paste and whatever. And Nico made a poster. Poster turned into stickers. Stickers turned into a zine. Zine turned into collectible. All these things. But then in the background of this image, you see this wheat paste campaign poster. And it was kind of like the beginning of us saying, oh, man, we have these garages, but they're really just canvases. And we can make them not so, like, try hard, but are very visually pleasing.
Yeah.
And when you see it like behind you, it's just like, wow, shit, that really worked.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. We're creating a space where the people, like our friends with these cars, they just want to be a part of it naturally.
Yeah.
We don't need to pay anybody. It's just like, here's a cool thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
Bring your car by, come hang out. And we had like, I don't know, 35 cars come by, 30 cars. And it was just cool. And, you know, busy moto now is in the garage of Stuttgart and looking at all these people that may or may not know about him.
Yeah.
And like the little nuggets of it being video and not photo is great.
Yeah.
The little trees wiggling.
And this was a fun one because you didn't have a lot of time to do any of this project, right?
No,
like it was basically like, cool, bring race service and Conifer to Stuttgart. We're doing this California campaign. And I think that we had to execute it within like 2 months.
And the budget wasn't crazy. And we don't want to be the people that, you don't want to be the guy that comes up with a bunch of ideas and then it just costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's like being scrappy.
Yeah.
Being scrappy and figuring out what is worth doing and what is not worth doing.
Yeah.
And this was just a really nice put together piece.
I just think about the community and I think about like, as we did this, what I didn't expect to happen was the days like it, cause we had to keep it low key, right? We didn't want to like make it some crazy production. We were filming out of the garage, but there would be like Friday afternoons where we'd schedule a bunch of people to come through.
And I'm looking at this and it's like, how many people showed up that day?
Right. Josh from Good Art. Like that day was so crazy. So
Busy.
It was Josh, Misha from Periphery. Or no. Chris brought his car because he was on tour.
Yep.
And then Busy Moto came. Rod brought his 935.
Jeff was there.
Jeff Lifter came and he was just kicking it. I think he brought a Ferrari,
Mikey was there.
But we couldn't really film that.
Rachel, it was just like Josh's wife was there. The dog was there.
Yeah. And it was just like, to me, that was so special because it made me realize like we're a part of something so much bigger, right?
Well, like think about like if we would have seen this as kids, as just diehard car fans, we would have been like, what the fuck? Like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
That just looks so easy and cool and fun and like lighthearted. And I think that's what makes RS special sometimes is the projects that we do and the people that we bring in appear very stylish and like coordinated.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just like because of our family. Like yeah. These are all people that are just come and hang in the shop. Well,
dude, something that I learned in this is like the Instagram moment versus reality of like,
yeah.
There you'd have this cluster of all these crazy cars there. And maybe it looked like it was this crazy planned out thing. And in all reality, it was just hitting up the homies. Being yeah. Like, yo, will you come through? We got to film all this stuff really fast.
Like the front yesterday, when you showed the front of this lot, it was like the Jeep and the Challenger and then like just a shit ton of cars out front, all jam-packed in.
But I think like moving out. That was just something. It's like for us, it was fun. Like I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't expect it. We had this idea and then it was like, all right, cool, execute it. But then what I didn't expect was to bring like our friends and community together and make all those moments.
And they were stoked. They had no idea what it was because we couldn't show them.
Something that was crazy is I really do think it was 2 months. And I mean 2 months start to finish, like till the store opened.
No, definitely.
Because the store, I was
This was halfway through. They said, oh, by the way, there's an LED screen.
Right. So I was in South By. It would have been the middle of March that the store opened. And I know we knew about it before we took the holiday break. But I also know that like things weren't fully approved and we were still waiting on things to get finalized. So we came into it, like really got to work top of 2023. After the holiday ended, they're like, we're good, green light, go. So as soon as we got that, then it was like, all right, let's get to work. And then the whole idea is now for you, you had all these digital renders, you measured everything, all this art. And then it's like, okay, cool. How do you get that to Germany? Because you can't have somebody just paint that.
Yeah, and then the initial idea was to have Nico paint a whole bunch of custom canvases, which in reality was just not going to work. And then when they said, so we came up with a gallery wall, and then we were going to have his friends help, and then there was going to be this whole like team of painters, and then they were like, oh, there's an LED wall that we really, really like. And we're like, oh, that's, sure. And then when it comes together now, you're like, this shit, this really makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so then you have this LED wall. So there's a car here, but then behind the car is this piece that he specifically made for the car.
Yeah.
Then we in LA get it printed in giant posters and wheat paste it on the wall. So then if it's open, you see it and it fits the rest of the theme. Mm-hmm. Then that becomes the poster, the store poster in that zine, turns out that zines are hard to make. But then
no, they're easy to make. We just
I hate you.
We're there the you. Guy the guy was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well, believe so, that. The zine, though, so that was honestly the easy part because that's a piece of paper. But then we had to figure out getting real art and a mix of prints.
Yeah, there was a minute where we were like, looks good. And what looks good makes sense.
Right. Like there was a minute where it was like, could a painter be trusted for Nico to send something and they recreate it? And that
doesn't
work.
Well, then it was like, Nico's work is all hand painted. So do you photograph it? Do you print it?
Right. And it was like, again, you and I, we're not Nico. We're not Porsche. Like, we were just like, we have this thing and we have to get it done.
Yeah.
What do we do? And then this idea, and I think this is Thaddeus and Conifer that came up with this, but we were like, okay, well, maybe we do prints. And then it was like, okay, well, then what's a Conifer print? He's never done prints.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then this idea of go to the back studio and shoot Nico holding his real art.
And that's my favorite one in the top is like, it's so, if you know Nico, like it's very his personality of like, it's kind of ironic and funny and like pushing the boundaries a little bit. And he photographs him holding up his painted piece and you're like, well, that's art. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
And like his little fingers are sticking out.
Yeah.
And then like at the top one, I don't know if you can see it, but it's the front of it. But then he turns around and it's just his back. And
it's just
like,
his back. But his back is a vest that he painted. So why isn't that a print?
Yep.
So that was this amazing solve that I think added to the store. Because for a minute, we have a couple originals, we have the helmets, and that's its own story. But we ended up having to like cargo ship fine art ship the real originals.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the extras to finish the gallery wall, it made no sense. It would have been so expensive, it wouldn't have worked.
Well, that's the trust thing.
That's the trust thing. But then that's also now when I look at the store, and I see the prints, it adds to it in a way that the real ones, if it was just that, it wouldn't have worked.
No, it adds a lot of personality, and especially the play of like real physical helmet element to video, to poster, to the back of his head or the skateboard or real painted piece, and then photograph pieces where like we chopped his face out of the helmets. Like it adds a lot of personality to him as an artist and gives a lot of depth to his work. I think the last piece is like, again, once you deliver this stuff and it's produced, it's kind of out of your hands. You have to just kind of trust your partners that like they're going to care.
Dude, that. So we deliver the stuff.
We're like, okay, Nico, it's done.
And then the brand store had 3 days?
3-day install.
3 days.
We're like, you're doing what and what?
And then we don't, like, what, we're going to, like, send emails or text and be like, send us a photo of every piece of construction. Like, well,
it's that balance of trust. Yeah, it is really balance of trust because it's, you can't do anything about it. You don't want to be the client that's like, hey, that fucking button is 6 inches lower than I told you to put it. It's like, it's out of your hands.
Right.
You just, you do what you can, you trust people and you put it together.
Yeah.
And when we got that first image, we were like, holy shit.
I almost cried.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they did it.
And there's, of course, there's always going to be interpretations and size differences and whatever. Yes. And working with like inches to centimeters is like, oh my God.
Yeah,
why?
There's definitely, but like, dude, honestly, now it makes me like it more. Like, I think about that hanging plant and it's like narrow and like, we just don't have that. Like, no, I've never seen that in RS, but it's like, well, it's beautiful. Why not? Yeah. Or like these tiny, you're right, like the button moves or it was like a different button, but it's like, so what? Like, it actually, every little detail that they had to figure out without us, I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it like it, that to me is the spirit of collaboration.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's step one. And
yeah.
You're not going to hit it perfect, but it's a really interesting thing to see it online because it is what it is. You see it online. It's cool.
Yeah.
You understand it. You understand that there's helmets. Like you kind of understand, you know, you visualize it. Yeah. But when you walk in here in person, it's very inviting and soft. And it has Nico's character, like the same essence of his studio where you're like very intrigued. You're like, what the fuck? This is like, what is this place? It's so bizarre. It's so hyper organized and it's, you don't really want to touch anything. You're kind of like walking around and you're like, can I take a picture? And what I love the first time that I sat in here was like any angle that you look around is a picture.
Yes.
And it's the same thing in Nico's studio. Yes. You're kind of just like taking photos everywhere.
You know what I loved is like you said like that thing of like, can I touch anything? And I actually loved to see the cultural difference of Germany because we get here, right? And it's this moment of like, this is the end of the campaign. We're seeing it like
after people days are after, it.
Right? But we get here and instantly we see a little kid run up and press the button and he's interacting. And then he runs up and he takes a tool off the wall.
Oh, stapler.
And it was...
he took a stapler off the wall.
But like he did interact with it. We're normally a little too afraid. And then we met that dude and he like took the change diagnostic sign and like held it and took a photo. Yeah. And he's like, I sent this to my friends and they love the message. Yeah. And this German dude from across the world understood Nico's message of like this positivity and spreading these messages in this fun way. And he's like, all my friends agreed, the world could use some more positive change. And I was like, oh. Like it translated.
Yeah. And people really spend a lot of time in here.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was watching like this couple sit here and just talk in general. And there was a woman over here reading and just eating popcorn and like looking around at everything.
Yeah.
And it is, it's hard to bring that sense of like soft, approachable space to somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially what you would assume is like a cold dealership.
When we were sitting down talking about it, it kind of hit us of like, damn, this is the end of it.
Yeah.
And I like, for so many friends back home in LA, I just wanted to talk about it and remember this moment while it's fresh and while we're sitting in it, because I was so proud of it. And it was such a special, like you and I bonded and we went through it and we had so many late nights and like, let this just be our little moment where we can be like, dude, we
take it in.
Fucking did it.
And I think it would be, people would be proud. I think the crew would be proud. If you saw this somewhere in LA as a little RS hub pop-up, you'd be like, oh, that's it for sure.
Yeah.
It and feels a couple, very true.
Couple people being like, yo, can we visit RS when we come here? And just like seeing
the brand recognition is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like people do know,
they know
RS, they know Conifer. And I think it all came together really nice. What's cool too, small little detail, is that the rest of the store is also really well done. But it doesn't feel like too cool for school and drab. Like everything in here
went together.
Plays pretty well. They did a good job.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience for me because we saw these photos and every friend in Germany, I was like, send us photos. But they don't know our eye. They don't know what we want to see. So we would see space photos of this, but we wouldn't see anything else. And you didn't see the outside. You didn't see how people interacted with it. And getting here and seeing it as a whole, seeing the pink wall over there with these beautiful photos and like Basti, like who brought this idea to life, has photos there. And Leica. And it's like, it's all brands and all things that do, they're like, we fuck with them. We get down on it. So seeing that, and then like some of like our race service behind the scenes photos are on a screen over there. And
it feels
like
we've just been really naturally integrated into the store without it feeling like they hired somebody to do
something.
And when I was just sitting here looking, it's like, we're so desensitized by RS where you sit here and then like, a yellow bird rolls up or like a fucking whatever the fuck shows up. A Red Bull car is in our office for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, looking at Blue Bricks with Nico Art and a collection of books and then like a yellow Turbo S over there.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, why do I feel like I'm at home?
Right.
It's
right.
Cool.
Yeah, that is true. Cool. That's another funny thing about Brandstore is they have access to the Porsche Museum. So that's, I think they told me it's the one of 86 964 Turbo S, first time they ever made a Turbo S.
In yellow.
And I think that those cars sell for like too much money.
Too much.
But it is cool. Like it feels, again, seeing cars like that, it's like, yeah, that's like home. Like we see that random stuff.
Yeah. And it's fun to be able to bring, like, coming from book design or some type of production of like physical goods, working with Nico where he paints stuff and I don't paint. I'd love to paint. But being able to transfer his art into something that is approachable, like a collectible zine or like a print. You know, and clothing and whatnot and all that.
Yeah, what was your favorite part? Like, Brandy. What was your holy shit moment out of it?
When we put it into a deck, we illustrated it, put it into a deck, and made our first, like, initial pass of what this version would be.
Yeah.
And the client was like, holy shit, this is going to be so sick. And then they're like, we have to go tell the CFO and the CEO of Porsche. And we were like, imagine telling yourself that, like, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
10 years, 5 years ago? Like, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
Like, it's so insane how you just do your shit, you do the way you want it, and things just happen naturally. And then all of a sudden, we're sitting in like a proper fucking Porsche store with all of our art everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, we're just hanging out with family now.
What was like the weirdest, not like bad moment, but like the other side of like your learning
moment?
Like, what was your learning or what was your like, oh shit?
I think the learning in the oh shit moment was like, are we going to live up to the standards of the shop, the artist, and myself, right? So as an artist or a creative, you have really, really high expectations and really, really high standards to details. And when I got here, I was like, oh, there are things that I would adjust if I would have just flown here, been here, unloaded.
Yeah.
But you have to release that.
Yeah.
And there's always room for improvement for everything. So like now that we've done this, it's like, this is a huge first step, but I know a lot of things that will happen on the next one.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I try to tell myself this and I'm going to butcher the hell out of it, but I'm pretty sure it's a Japanese saying that's wabi-sabi and it's the imperfect is perfect. And if I'm totally butchering that, please correct me and I'm sorry. But the idea of at least embracing the imperfections is something that I've definitely had to come to terms with. And I think I see it too. It's like, yeah, we probably would have run a wider rug. But like, we don't know where you get rugs like this in Germany. And like, does it matter? No, nobody's going to come into this and go, blah, blah, blah.
That rug is so small.
Anyway, I feel you though.
Yeah.
I think my biggest, like my cool one was seeing that kid hit the button.
Oh, really?
Actually, because like,
that's a layer to it there.
Like, none of it matters. It's like, cool, yeah, we brought this art, blah, blah, blah. But like, as soon as you see people, it's people to me. So like, seeing our community and like being that, bringing this together and showing people was awesome. But then I remember being the kid that picked my first toy was a little 911. So it's like, we don't know what that memory is. Like, him hitting that. He might later on be like, I was 5 years old and I was at this
Porsche
store.
Brand store.
I don't even know what it was. And I pressed this button and I took saw a stapler. Porsche. And I took a stapler. And now I sell staplers and I bought a Porsche.
Yeah. Who knows?
No, but like seeing him, it just like, it was the most full circle. I was like, oh, cool. Like thinking that maybe there were so many other people that just took it and that and bringing what we love so much and seeing somebody so happily interact. That was special. And then I think like my holy shit moment was production of apparel and posters and art. So all on my side, all of the logistics.
All the
like I was in charge of getting Nico the helmets. I was in charge of like getting the shirts, getting the things printed, getting the colors right really fast. So there were no take backs. There was no like, oh, the shirt was the wrong color. It got dyed the wrong color. Like every single thing had to be perfect first run. And of course, I wasn't going to tell you guys, like, I wasn't going to be like, guys, I'm really nervous, this, and this. But there was a lot on my side is like production.
Internally combusting.
There was so much faith.
And
thank God that everything came through. And I remember this original piece, I had to take it in the Metris to get shipped. And I remember taking this selfie and I was like, this might be the last time we ever see this. It's like, just like praying that it doesn't get lost in customs. Because remember, the other Porsche helmet got lost in customs.
I don't even
want to
talk about that helmet.
So, like, that, like, where I was just like, this is such an important piece. There were so many very important pieces that needed to get from LA to Germany.
Can you imagine if we had to ship that sign?
Dude, right? But like, think, what if the helmets didn't show up? What if that didn't show up? What if the shirts didn't show up?
Yeah.
So like, for me to do the thing and then just like let go and be like, It's out of my hands.
Trust that it will be there.
Hope it will work.
Yeah.
And I think like the moment of getting here and seeing that it worked and everything we sent was here, I was just like, finally, I was like, I can breathe.
Yep. And we got that first picture and it was good.
Yeah.
We were stoked.
I made you talk yesterday at the little event.
That was fun. I don't know how to use a microphone. It's like,
how do you feel? I mean, you've now, you're a public
speaker. I like this lab thing. I like this thing where it just stays there and you don't really realize it's done. It's still going.
Yeah.
You got your green light. Thank you. Following you.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
I'm proud of
you. We got to do my podcast because
we do.
We're like yin yang.
Yeah.
I suppose.
If Race Service Friends were sold as action figures, we're a duo.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know who would be Batman or Robin.
Yeah.
Maybe what would be our extra thing? Action figure plus accessory.
Laptops are too boring, right?
Yeah. No. I feel like mine would be that like measuring fabric measuring tape.
Yeah, yours is the measuring tape. Is mine my laptop? Am I that boring?
No. Yours would be like a handheld.
Mine's a phone, but it's my arm.
It's like an arm. It's like a replacement arm.
Is just this. What's up, guys? Monday morning podcast update, and today we are with Max Vandenberg.
Better you pop the arm out. And it's like a replacement arm. Like one is a camera and one is a podcast.
Well, it's like a Woody. Like it's like a speak and spell, or you like pull a string and it says stuff, and it just says player. Oh sure, no fooling.
Dankeschön.
Yeah,
you're insane.
Did we do it?
I think we did it.
Did we miss anything? Who knows if we did? I don't know this format.
It's a shame that all of our friends aren't here to enjoy all these printables.
I know.
You know?
I know.
It's cool.
All right. Well, let's go race some Porsches at Hockenheim, huh?
Yeah, not bad.
Proud of you.
Dude.